Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley.
Good morning, everyone.
Let's get right to it. New figures show that Rhode Island's unemployment rate remained at 9.2% for the second consecutive month in October. That's up from 9.1% in August. Republican gubernatorial candidate Ken Block was the only public official to issue a statement about the new unemployment figures. He calls the numbers an indictment of Rhode Island's current leaders. So, Scott, why don't we see more of a reaction from other public officials, including the real and possible candidates for governor? And is there just too much complacency about the economy in Rhode Island?
No, first of all, Ken Block is not a public official. He's a candidate for governor. And this is basically him trying to make a campaign statement and perhaps stake out the economy as his issue. And that's what I see him trying to do here. Is it a smart move? Yes, it probably is, because he hasn't been elected to anything ever. And I think he's trying to, you know, get the economy as his issue. We'll see if he can pull it off.
How much help does this issue possibly lend to Block, Maureen? And do you think there is too much complacency among public officials on the economy in Rhode Island?
I don't think there's too much complacency. I think it gives him a sort of legitimacy, given that he isn't in an elected office. But you will be sure to note that every single candidate for office is going to talk about jobs and the economy. Alan Fung already has. He's made a commitment in terms of numbers of jobs. So I think this is more of Ken Block's trying to get on the bandwagon. Because, as I say, there will not be one candidate that won't make this the centerpiece of their effort to become governor.
Rhode Island now has the second highest unemployment rate in the nation. Why haven't we heard more about that from other public officials in Rhode Island?
I think we've heard quite a bit, particularly from some of the business community, some of the nonprofit folks. You look at what the Rhode Island Foundation is doing, EDC. People seem to be trying to move this. The only problem I can see is that because our workforce is not as well educated as our New England neighbors, we are going to take a long time to get those numbers up there. We talk about unemployment, but it's really among mostly people with low skills. How many PhDs do you know are out of work? How many operating room nurses do you know who are out of work? How many engineers? And that's, I think, what we have to understand. In Rhode Island, I always thought it's a state with a blue-collar mentality, still a little bit rooted in the 20th century, where people said, okay, you get out of high school or you even drop out in the old days and then you go to work in a factory. Well, nowadays, those days are over. You're going to, you know, Burger Schlock.
Well, let's talk about a related issue. State Senator Dawson Hodgson, a North Kingstown Republican, is renewing his calls for an independent commission to investigate the state's losing investment in 38 studios. Hodgson is introducing legislation that would create such a commission. And while the outlook for the bill remains far from certain, some Republicans, like House Minority Leader Brian Newberry, think 38 studios is a good issue for the GOP to flog in the election year of 2014. How do you see the outlook for this legislation, Maureen?
Well, I don't see the outlook of this legislation as being very good, but it does provide the GOP with an issue. Frankly, what I think is it's getting to be a tired issue. I think people are tired of it. They can keep reminding everybody about some of the problems, and Dawson Hodgson is going to make this the centerpiece of his campaign. I mean, it'll have some resonance, but, you know, you see polls and people say, should we or shouldn't we pay back the money? And 50% say yes. It's not a deep issue. It's not something, I think, that resonates deeply with voters. So while it might be, you know, sort of in the forefront, I don't see this as being something compelling that we're going to get a lot of voter support for.
But it might resonate more in 2014 because the amount that bondholders are due to be paid back and that will be voted on by the General Assembly is going up from $2.5 million to about $12 million. Maureen, do you think there should be an independent investigation into 38 studios?
I frankly think we have to wait and see. I mean, we haven't had anything from Peter Kilmartin. He's going to be running for office. Dawson Hodgson is going to make his lack of any kind of a commission or investigation an issue. So I think it'll come out in the to and fro of this debate as far as this election is concerned. And interestingly, it's a good example of why it's nice to have a loyal opposition that can really question what's going on and see how it goes from there.
Scott, I believe you bemoaned a lost opportunity for Republicans in not using 38 studios as an election issue in 2012. How do you see it playing out in 2014? And do you think there should be an independent investigation?
It wouldn't hurt. I really think the state's lucky that we have the lawsuit, and hopefully some of this will come out and we'll get a decent settlement that will leaven what the taxpayers are on the hook for. Obviously, for Hodgson, he's running for attorney general. It's a good issue for him. for Brian Newberry, who wants to elect more Republicans to the state legislature. That's a good issue for him, too. The problem is that as far as the party as a whole goes, this thing was created largely by Republican Governor Don Carcieri, who pretty much has been in hiding since he made this decision. So I don't know how they square that circle. We'll see.
Providence Mayor Angel Taveras this week unveiled a plan to gradually make pre-kindergarten available for every child in Rhode Island. The Democratic gubernatorial candidate says expanding early childhood education is a building block for economic development. Taveras says he'd pay for this expansion by finding savings in the state budget, winning foundation support, and using some current federal education money. Scott, do you think it's really feasible to be able to find the money for this kind of ambitious expansion of early childhood education?
Well, there's two issues here, and I think Taveras has hit on a very good one. First of all, everyone knows that we lag behind other states in education, so he's showing some vision as far as how he would tackle the issue, particularly in the urban areas of the state where we know we've got a lot of poverty, and we know that early education is helpful. However, the downside of it for him is people are going to be clamoring, well, how do you pay for it?
Well, I can just say that there isn't a politician that's going to run this year that is not going to talk about investing in education. So I think the public is really primed for the idea that where we are going to spend money, if we're going to spend money at all, we're going to spend it on education. And I think this is very innovative. And as you pointed out, it speaks to the issue of educating the workforce at an early stage. The other thing is, when he talks about the drug court and he talks about the waste in human capital and tax dollars as far as the expenditures there, I think he makes a very good argument.
Now, Taveras says implementing this early childhood initiative would cost about $6.5 million in the first of 8 years. He points to how there's about $90 million in state overtime every year, and he says if you cut overtime by 10%, that's $9 million. Is that really realistic to think that money could be achieved that way, Scott?
Overtime, you have to look at it very carefully. An awful lot of it is in the corrections department.
And also behavioral mental health Buddha.
Right. And so the problem is you have these social problems that we're addressing. Perhaps if we sent fewer people to jail, we might be able to spend the money more on education. There's an old line in Rhode Island that people like to cite and said, look, if you don't invest in education, we'd rather send people to CCRI and URI than we would the ACI. So I think you're going to hear a lot of that.
This is exactly what Angel is saying. Angel Taveras is saying there's one very vulnerable population where there's good feeling nationally as well as in the state that we're creating criminals by not having a special drug court and dealing with them in a separate specter. So I think this plan has legs. I think it does express a lot of vision, and I think it's going to make other politicians step up to the plate and talk about investments in education.
We're here on the day after Thanksgiving, so who are your turkeys of 2013, Maureen?
Well, my state turkey is Mark Smiley, who is the chair of the state GOP. This is the gentleman, along with several legislators, who held an event that simply gave away a prize of an assault weapon. We have some capable candidates that are able to run on the General Assembly in the GOP as well as statewide. And they are going to be dragged down by this turkey who really has created all sorts of problems for a very credible, talented group of people, Alan Fung being one of them, that can run on the GOP.
How about you, Scott?
My top turkey this year are the big box retailers that are opening on Thanksgiving. I think it's really sad that there's such a war on a great American holiday. And I think William Bradford and the intrepid pilgrims who came here are doing backflips in their graves.
Well, the State Department of Health actually put out an advisory encouraging businesses to consider barricades, crowd control devices, and the possible use of security personnel on Black Friday. So we hope none of our listeners are hurt, and we hope everyone had a happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And Maureen.
Thank you, and happy holiday.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamlet, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoyed the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.